And the city of Richmond has been debating a motion to amend business bylaws related to massage parlors. The changes would afford bylaw officers more ticketing power to crack down on those massage parlor businesses. Bronwyn McBride is a board member for Swan Vancouver, and she's also a postdoctoral fellow within the Faculty of Health Sciences at Simon Fraser University. She has studied this topic extensively, and she did speak about it in front of City Council on Monday. And Bronwyn is on the line with us right now. Hi there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gloria. Thank you for inviting dialogue on this important issue.
So what's some of the research that you've done around this topic, Bronwyn?
Yeah, so I have a master's in public health from SFU, and I completed my PhD at UBC in 2020. My PhD research drew on data from the AISHA project, which is a longitudinal cohort study involving over 900 sex workers in Metro Vancouver, led by the Center for Gender and Sexual Health Equity. So my PhD research explicitly examined how sex work criminalization and policing impact health and safety and labor conditions among immigrant women engaged in indoor sex work.
Okay, so you interviewed hundreds of sex workers and heard their stories firsthand. And then we have the politics of all of this as well. I mean, there was a community safety committee meeting in November wherein City Councillor Cash Heed said, "There is absolutely no way, morally, ethically, or even legally, that they should be operating." So what do you make of those comments?
Yeah, these were some really interesting comments, and I think they go to a core of many laws, you know, around the world. The question of, can you eliminate sex work with legislation or policy? And legislative attempts to eradicate sex work are not new. So historically, sex work has always been criminalized in almost all countries. So if it were possible to eliminate sex work through laws and criminalization, that would have already happened. Sex work can't be legislated away. It can only be made safer or more dangerous, and that's a policy decision. And policies shouldn't be based on individuals' personal perspectives about sex work. They should be based on public health evidence. And I know that for many, you know, this is an uncomfortable and sensitive subject, but we need to face that discomfort and talk about it, because we're talking about people's livelihoods and their lives.
Well, and there are a lot of stereotypes that persist around this as well. What can you tell us about the pimp trope?
Yeah, great question. I'm well aware that there are many, many sensationalized stereotypes about exploitative pimps. But again, stereotypes are not an acceptable basis for policy or bylaw enforcement. So with the AISHA project, I actually led a study of massage parlor venue owners and managers in Vancouver in 2020. And my study found that 68% of these venue owners and managers were also current or former sex workers. 88% of the venue owners and managers were women. So this research really disrupts these inflammatory stereotypes about abusive pimps, because many of the sex work managers were also sex workers at the same time, whereas others had transitioned from worker into management roles, just like career trajectories in other industries. Well, so this research, really shows that these venues are places where women are working together, working collectively for greater health and safety.
Right. And so how are licensed businesses such as these, you know, they're known as massage parlors, rub parlors, how are they, in your view, a form of harm reduction?
Yeah, absolutely. Because of the laws surrounding sex work, because of criminalization and stigma and lack of labor rights and protections, sex work can be very dangerous. Criminalization and stigma result in sex workers being targets for violent perpetrators, as we've seen horrifically here in Vancouver with the Picton case and others. Whereas research shows that managed, licensed indoor venues like Body Rub Studios promote physical and psychological safety for sex workers. So my study in Vancouver found that managed indoor venues provide critical supports like security cameras, control over the work environment, and also staff who carefully screen clients to keep the workers safe. So these parlors kick out bad clients, and they set the rules and expectations for clients' conduct, and that promotes occupational safety for workers in this industry.
What about the
So
impact on the workers themselves when we're seeing increased raids and ticketing, that this whole process?
absolutely. So all research shows, my research here in Vancouver and global research shows that aggressive enforcement of these safer indoor venues displaces women to more hidden locations where they face greater risk of violence. So I had a 2022 study with the Aisha Project that found that hostile law enforcement visits to sex workers' workspaces were traumatizing, stigmatizing, and severely undermined women's income. So to avoid these harmful impacts, women often left the safer indoor venue and started working alone in private apartments. And that's where they face increased risk of being targeted by violent perpetrators.
Okay, so I mentioned that you spoke against this at council on Monday night, despite your efforts, despite your group SWAN's efforts to provide more research and background to this. The city of Richmond still went ahead and approved this motion. So that will mean more tickets, more raids for these businesses. What do you hope happens next?
Yeah, the decision on Monday night was, very disappointing, as I can't imagine that Richmond would really want to pursue a policy approach that all evidence shows will harm low-income, vulnerable immigrant women. So I still hope to see Richmond stop this regressive enforcement of indoor workspaces and take an approach that's grounded in public health evidence and community consultation. So that should involve meeting with community organizations like SWAN and PACE, consulting directly with women who will be affected by the bylaws, and learning, best practices from other municipalities.
Bronwyn, thank you for sharing some of your research with us. I know you've invested many years in this issue, 8 years, in fact. So we appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for foregrounding this issue.